welcome to 5 minutes with Pastor T. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's so great to be coming here once again this morning. And today I want to share concerning how that the believer is under grace, not under law. And the believer must walk in grace and not frustrate the grace of God, you know, by trying to please God through the works of the law, as the Galatian church were trying to do. The Galatian church were trying to please God through the works of the law. You know, when you read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, look at the way Paul begins the message to them. He says, "O foolish Galatians, you know, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Now, this does not mean that Jesus was crucified or the Galatian church are the ones who crucified Jesus. I heard someone say that some time ago. That is not what it means. Hallelujah. You know, Paul is saying that through the preaching that I preached to you, I showed you, you know, how that Christ was crucified for you. That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. So, he says, "This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law?" He says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Emphatically, it is by the hearing of faith, you know. Verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Of course, he does it by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. You see, you flow in the miracles and do things with God, not because of the law, not because of you following the law, but because of living the newness of life. You see, the believer is to walk and serve in the newness of life and in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You know, when you read in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, the Bible basically says this: "'Tis now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." Then in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible mentions that, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life." So we are to walk in the newness of life, and we are to serve, you see, in the newness of spirit. Walk in the newness of life and serve in the newness of the spirit. The believers walk and serve in the newness of life and in the newness of the spirit. Hallelujah. Not in the oldness of the letter. Now, what does it mean to walk? The word walk means to make one's way, to progress by making due use of opportunities in Christ. It means to regulate one's life or conduct, okay, oneself according to a certain manner, okay. That is to walk in the manner or in the opportunities that are presented to you, to make progress, to live your life by making progress, okay, making due use of opportunities in Christ. That is what it means to walk. And to serve means to be a slave by doing service, by submitting to. Okay, he says we should do so in the newness of life and in the newness of spirit. What does it mean, newness? Newness means to be in a new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places you and I, so as to produce the new state, which is eternal life. Hallelujah. You see, the believer is expected to live his life, not by law, but live his life in the newness of the spirit. Live his life in the newness of life. The life of God is anew. You see, the Bible says that for God so loved the world, that is why he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you and I have everlasting life. You see, so we have to make progress through that everlasting life that we have received. The newness of life is regulated, okay, by the life of God that is in us. The life of God in us is what regulates the newness of life in us. When you read in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There's a certain law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a law. Every life has a law that allows it to regulate. You see, the human life has a way that is regulated. In the same way, the spirit life also has a way that is regulated. And the spirit life that we have is regulated by a certain inward law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How does that law work? Now, let's read in Ezekiel. Let's see how it works. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm reading from verse 26. It's so nice. He says, "A new heart," this is the promise of God concerning you and I. He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh." Then he says, "I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." You see, there's a law in us that pushes us. That is why you never feel comfortable when you are doing the wrong thing as a believer. You know it. You just know it from within you. You don't need an external person to come and tell you that what you are doing is wrong. There's a law within that prevents you from going in the wrong direction, that pushes you to go in the right way, to go where God wants you to go. It says, "And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you." I will cause you as a law. He says, I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. I always preach with faith, believing that what I'm saying is what the people who are hearing me are going to do, because you're going to be caused by the Spirit of God to go the way you're supposed to go. So the newness of life is regulated by the life of God in us, and regulated by a certain law in that life called the inward law of life, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then there's inward teaching, okay, on inward intuition that is written and made known to us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. God mentions, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as I have taught you, you shall abide in him. It says, that same anointing teaches you all things. So there's an inward teaching by the Spirit of God to go the right way, to do the right thing. Sometimes you may not even be doing anything outwardly wrong, but you realize that in your heart, that's what God will be telling you, things that you didn't even see, you know, things you even thought about, he will talk to you about, he will tell you that what you thought about was not right. And if you're a child of God whose conscience is not seared, you realize that you just tenderly acknowledge, you know, and confess your faults before God, and live the life and live the way God wants you to live. It's amazing. This is the life that we have been called to, not to live by the law, but to live by the inward law of life. And that law is the law of love. Jesus said that, love men, love your neighbor, even as I have loved you. You see, we live by the law of love, and that law loves every man, no matter what. Hallelujah. I'll expand this some more for you tomorrow. God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.